All right, well, let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray, God, for your spirit to fill this place. God, we pray for your spirit to move, God, in your words, that you would write into our hearts. God, would you help us to battle sin? God, would you help us, God, to know and understand your word? We pray, God, for your spirit to lead us to Jesus. Help us to see. We pray for your glory to fall now, God, and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we start a new series on what I would call biblical inner healing. And so, how many people believe that God heals both our physical injuries as well as our emotional and spiritual injuries? How many people believe that? Okay, absolutely. And we want to look at the Word of God and begin to now, what does God say about inner healing? Now, when we talk about inner healing, we have to identify what the problem is. Because a lot of times, you know, we kind of think we know what the problem is. And so, but it's very important to understand the problem. And it's also very important to understand and admit that we do have a problem. We have a problem. The problem is pain. And now, we have a problem with pain. And so, if you are an alcoholic, what is the first thing you have to admit when you're an alcoholic?
I'm an alcoholic.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that confession, Areem. We'll start counseling pretty soon. Okay. All right. Yes. If you're like Areem, okay, and you have a problem, we want to admit that we have a problem. And it is very important to say we have a problem. And we have to understand what the problem is. So, and the problem is pain, but not in the way that we think it is. Because there's pain and the problem of pain. Okay? So we'll look at the, and then there's the problem of sin. And we have to understand that because there's two kinds of pain. And I think for a lot of us who played sports understand, right? And there's this real just popular saying in the military. What is it? No pain, no gain, right? Right? We understand that without pain, there's no gain. So we don't think, so is pain a problem? Not in the way we think about it. Then there's a pain. I remember, you know, when I was playing sports back in the 80s. I'm talking about some water. Sorry. It's amazing how far we've come, you know, in our society. Matter of fact, if you're a high school top recruit, you won't go to a college that doesn't have the premier healing places. I don't know if you know that. So they spend millions of dollars in universities to get the best physical therapists, they a place where they ice you down, they wrap you up, you know, get the best medical care because people get injured. People get injured. Now, when I was growing up and you got injured, you know what they said? Like if I sprained my ankle, you know what they say? Walk it off. Walk it off. Yes. Like you go, you know, like this. I say, all right, Henry, walk it off. Walk it off. All right, walk it off. You know, what they're saying is if you continue to play in that injured state, right, you're not going to feel very injured. You know, that adrenaline pumping and everything. Now, is that smart? That's not smart. Matter of fact, in the military, you know, I have lots of injuries. A lot of it because I don't listen to my body. And what happens when you're injured and you keep playing injured? You get more injured. So we have to understand pain. We have to understand, okay, the problem of pain. And we keep injuring and re-injuring and re-injuring, and that causes a lot of issues. But let's talk about pain and how we think about pain, because that's the problem. We have to understand pain. Now, scripture, when Jesus, when the angels came and was, you know, announcing the coming of Jesus, this is what scripture says. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for, this is what Jesus means. For he will save his people from their sins. Now that word save, well, before I explain, let's go to the next verse, James chapter 5, 15. It's the same word. It's the word, the Greek word sozo. I don't know if you've ever heard the word, but it also means healing. Healing. So scripture uses that. Matter of fact, in James 5 says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So why would you save people when they're sick? But that's the kind of the back and forth on that term. So understanding that Jesus isn't coming to save us from all pain. Notice, Jesus isn't saving us, so now when you become a Christian, there will be no more pain. Jesus doesn't say that. Because there's pain, and there's sin pain. I want you to understand that. Jesus will save us, not from pain, but from sin pain. I call it sin pain. Means he will heal us. That's how we understand the idea of inner healing. If you don't understand sin, you will not understand inner healing. Isaiah 53, matter of fact, 5 says this about the coming of Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are what? Healed. Jesus came to heal us from our sins. Matter of fact, Mark chapter 2, verse 16 says this. Because people are like, Jesus is eating with sinners. Jesus is hanging out with a bunch of sinners. That's what he said. They didn't say it exactly like that. He says, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. He's calling sinners sick. God has compassion for sinners. Matter of fact, he looked across when he was coming into Jerusalem. Remember that scene? Right? And he was moved. Right? You could almost just kind of see it. He was so moved because they were what? Lost without a shepherd. The idea of sin is the idea of this, because you could also use the save is the same thing as rescue, heal, save. When you got saved, in a sense, you are healed. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. So Jesus came to heal us of our sins, the pain that sin causes. Not pain. And we have to understand that. In this world, we're going to experience pain. We're also going to experience the pain that sin causes because of the pain. We'll go into that a little bit. The problem with pain is we're surprised. We're surprised that our husbands said some pretty nasty stuff. How many wives over here, her husband said some pretty nasty stuff? Wow, we got an angel. Oh, my wife's the only one that raised her hand. Wow, thanks. All right? All right. We have angels for husbands. Okay, husbands, how many wives had some nasty stuff? Wow. Angelic husbands, devilish wives. That's what I'm seeing here in our church. Okay, and the wives complain. All right. But we are so surprised, aren't we? We're so shocked. Would you call me? What did you just say? Like, we're so shocked. Look, of course they said that. We're so surprised that people cancel us, right? We go on Facebook or Instagram, whatever. We're so surprised, you know, that they didn't put the right emoji. You know, we're surprised the thumbs up isn't there, right? We were actually utterly shocked if the thumbs down was there. I don't even know if anybody ever used the thumbs down emoji when you text. I don't know. We're so afraid of the thumbs down. And it says surprise at the fiery ordeal. That's the Greek word, right? Where we get the word pyro, right? Fire, right? Like a pyromaniac. This suffering feels like fire among you when it takes place to test you, as if something strange were happening to you. It's so strange. I married him. I remember it was just like a counseling. It's nobody from our church. It's like when I married my husband, he was the most wonderful, generous man I'd ever known. I was like, well, that's probably your problem, because he wasn't that guy. You know what I mean? We're so disappointed. We're so surprised that they're actually sinners. But to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ. So what is Peter saying? He's saying, yes, you're gonna suffer pain. Like Jesus suffered pain. But don't be surprised. Life is hard. People are going to say mean things. Work is going to be stressful. It's just life. But that's not what we have to be afraid of. Matter of fact, consider it a privilege. Consider it all joy, Scripture says. It says, rejoice so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice and be glad. So pain in of itself, is, now, what happens when we experience pain? What do we turn to when we experience pain? Because if you go throughout the day, life is pretty hard. You come back from work, you know, after just an entire day with your kids, and so hard, right? And I know most of you, so spiritual, you know? And I know that at the end of the day, right, you turn to your spiritual TV, you know, your spirit-filled phones, you know, and you surf, right? I mean, you mean to turn on the computer to read your Bible, don't you? But that's the thing, is that the idea of pain, is that the idea of this idea of, like, sharing in his sufferings, right? That we may also what? What does Jesus say? Come to me. Come to me who are in pain. Who do we go to? Do we go to Jesus when we're in pain? No, we don't go to Jesus when we're in pain. Right? And if you don't go to Jesus when you're in pain, it's whatever you go to for your pain is called an idol. We'll talk about that later in our series. 2 Corinthians 4, it says we are afflicted. Right? It's the word thlipsis. Now that Greek word is the word, like, it comes from the etymology of pressure, pressed. We feel like squeezed. We're afflicted in every way. Now, what Paul's saying here, right, is, now, some of you, if you read the NIV, it says we are, like, hard-pressed on every side, right? So it does mean pressed, right? Some translations do that. You just feel like, man, it's like just claustrophobic almost. But what does it say? It says, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Not crushed. Now, I'm going to say some of you, if you are under a great deal of pressure, right, then what happens when you are crushed? It's called a nervous breakdown. It's called a nervous breakdown, right? An anxiety attack. Now, we understand that. I understand that. So what Paul is saying, there's a couple things that's going to go on here. You're going to be afflicted. You're going to experience pain, but you're not going to get crushed. You're going to have this intense pressure in life, but you won't get crushed. You won't get crushed. Now, some of you are going, that's a lie, because there are people who are getting crushed. Absolutely. But what is Paul saying? In Christ, you won't get crushed. We don't have to be, pain is not what crushes you. Sin riding on top of pain, that's going to crush you. We'll take a look at that. It says, perplexed. Perplexed. Oh, but not driven to despair. See, it's not suffering that destroys us. It's almost like what we think about suffering that leads us to despair. Why me? Self-pity. Self-pity. After all I've done, you know? I'm so confused, you know? They're in my growth group. They're supposed to love me. And so what does sin do? It comes on top of pain, and then it takes the pain and takes it to a different place. And where does it go? It takes a place of injury. And that's exactly what happens. Despair is the injury of perplexion when Jesus is not involved. Persecuted. Canceled. Omitted. Neglected. Cussed upon, shouted at, persecuted, but not forsaken. What happens when we're persecuted? Whether at work, our minds will take us now where forsaken is the very idea of self-pity. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Not even God. Struck down. Struck down. If you understand war, right? One of the things I really, to be honest, when I was in Afghanistan, you know, I drove probably more miles, and I remember I got the freaking flyer, like they were talking about me getting the freaking flyer. I was the IG of Afghanistan. I was traveling everywhere, driving. And that was like the height of IEDs. Every bump on the road. Like, you know, bombs going overhead, you know. And the point is, deep down inside, I knew. No matter what happened, I'm not going to get PTSD. Not that I'm something special, but I did believe that in Christ, He's going to care whatever I face. Jesus never promised that I would not get injured. He never promised. What He did promise is that He will never leave me and never what? Forsake. Never forsake. So, and he says, always, what does it say? Carrying in the body the death of Jesus. Like whatever sufferings you might go through, it's a privilege. So that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. The one thing that cries out to us when we suffer is, are you dead? Are you dead? When you got baptized, you know what you did? You died. You joined Jesus in His death, and you rose to a new life. That's what you did. You died. But what happens when we experience pain? Oh, that thing comes back to life. We are resurrected, aren't we? How dare you? What'd you just say to me? I can't believe this person. Yeah, you can't, actually. But something comes back up and doesn't want to stay dead. Romans 8. This is the thing. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. What is Scripture saying? Please do not be afraid of pain. Do not fear pain. Now, even as I say that, every time we're encountered with temptation, did you know it's very painful to say no? All right? If there is a half-naked girl walking right over there, and I don't want to look at it. It's painful. It's painful. And I think every guy would say that. Maybe with the exception of maybe Joe over there, you know, he doesn't have any problems with that. But everybody, right? And same thing with women, right? Women have their own temptations, but fighting temptation is painful. You know, and so what do? What can we do? Gotta say yes. And then we don't fight it anymore. Then we try to follow Jesus and we wonder where Jesus is. So we're trying to experience this resurrected life without dying. Without dying. Suffering is not gonna kill you. Matter of fact, what is it saying? You have no idea. It's gonna be revealed. Not now, but what suffering produces is going to be amazing. So continue to say no. No to temptation and yes to the good stuff. Yes to a devoted life of fellowship and prayer, right? And obeying of the word of God. Say yes, right? I know people are wondering, why is Henry so freaked out about wanting to do kimchi stuff, right? And cookouts. I don't know, like, if you're saying this, why is so? Because corporate breaking of bread. People need to roll up their sleeves. Do you really roll up your sleeve to break bread? I'm not talking about going buying stuff. I'm talking about making stuff. Let's do it. Let's get together and do stuff like that. I'm talking about men and women. I'm saying is, saying no to suffering, I mean to temptation, that's saying yes to suffering. But being devoted, right? Being devoted to the ways of God is suffering. It's painful. But God promises joy when you suffer. That's the good stuff. So it says in John 16, it says, I have said these things to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have affliction. It's the same word, right? You're going to have pressure. You're going to have stress. You're going to suffer. But have what? Courage. Now, folks, why do we need courage to suffer? Because when we suffer, the most often thoughts that come to mind is this is worthless. This is not going to, you know, why am I the only one serving? How many of you didn't have that thought? Everybody wants to be a servant, okay? Until you're treated like one. That's called fear. Maybe your wife, you're doing more stuff at home. My husband doesn't help. And you feel like you're getting the raw end of the deal. You're not. It's better to give than to receive. But what do? Doesn't mean your husbands don't help. What I'm saying is we're thinking about it wrong, but it's saying have courage, because when we start thinking, right, in our sufferings, fear sets in, like we're missing out. You know what's called FOMO? Many young people, I know, you probably have to have a phone. How many of you don't want a phone? You know, is Abby saying to his dad, like, Dad, can you please not get me a phone? I know every one of my friends have phones, you know, they're really having a lot of fun, but I don't want it. I don't want it. Is that what you're saying, Abby? Yeah. Okay, thank you for saying that. To those who fear missing out, okay, have courage. You don't have to have this. You don't have to have that. The point is, please go ahead and do that. Don't fear. That you're wasting your life. Don't fear, okay? Don't fear. What is the opposite of fear? Courage. What drives out fear? Love, okay? Romans 5, that's exactly what it says. But it says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Folks, yes, if people cancel you, okay? If people say stuff or don't say stuff, you get neglected at school, you get neglected. Maybe you're not the popular one, you know? Just don't worry about it. But the way you suffer, Because when you're in that situation, what is the promise of God? When we're in pain, what does God promise? Love. Love is the solution to pain. I grew up, my dad was very abusive. I was never at home. My mom worked, so I never saw her. You know? And I don't, you know, I became a very sensitive person, prone to quick anger. I remember I was rooming with Sang at the time, and I was going out to this church, Gig Harbor Vineyard. And I remember God wanted to do like a healing, you know. I just grew up that way. And every Sunday, I would go, it was just during their prayer and worship time. It was just waves of the love of God just came. Just waves. God was like singing over me. It's like, I love you, Henry. Like, I love you. And I couldn't contain it. I went back week after week. You know, that's what I needed. I needed. And it was just like, and something began to transform. Something was happening. And to cap it off, okay, and many of you know this story, while I was doing that, getting loved on and being healed, right? I was attending at the time a Presbyterian church, and they didn't like that kind of stuff. And so I was also leading college ministry, and they wanted to kick me out. They wanted to kick me out. And it was this one guy that was driving the whole thing. And I was very hurt. I felt very betrayed. I was hurt. But God was doing a thing. And I was like, God, Jesus, like, where are you with this? And I was about to leave the church. It was my final Sunday. I went, and the guy that was leading the charge and ousting me was there. He was preaching. And I was like, God, I'm leaving. And I went, you know, to the very source of pain. And what was God saying? Henry, he's not the problem. He's not the problem. You know what you need? You need love. In that moment, okay, because I was going up, I wanted to confront him before I left. And when I went up, the love of God came over me. I raised my hand and I said, hey, good sermon. Good sermon. Good word, I said. I probably lied because I don't think it was very good. But anyway. I didn't need to confront him because I loved him. I felt healed, you know? And later on, something else happened, and maybe for a different time, he changed his mind, you know? And God witnessed, so I continued in the ministry. But the point is the healing came from God. My ability to forgive came from God, and it was through his love, through his love. That's why 1 John says, there is no fear in love. It's okay. Korean, it says, 담대해. You know what I mean? It's okay. Like, you know, like confront pain. It's okay. You don't have to be afraid. The love will meet you. Because perfect love casts out fear. And whoever fears has not been perfected. If you're constantly anxious, nobody says this though. If you're constantly, if you have anxiety upon anxiety, if you're worry after worry, you know what you need? You need love. You need love. I'm so nervous. I'm fearful for my children. You know, it's just like what we're saying is God. But then how about if God doesn't do that for me? I don't know if I'm wired that way. I grant you this. It is hard in America. There's over 500 million people throughout South America, Africa. I mean, the Holy Spirit is just sweeping through. God's generous. It's hard, you know, when you have stuff. It's hard to forgo stuff, you know, to die to yourself. Talk about it a little bit later in the series. All right, let's talk about sin, the problem of sin. Luke 6:20 says, but I say to you here to you who hear. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who cancel you, right? Abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, the one who robs you, the one who doesn't pay you back, do not withhold your tunic either. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. What is Jesus saying? Your enemy is not the problem. It's your heart. Your enemy is not the problem. It's not your father who's the problem. It's not your mother who's the problem. It's your heart. I remember when God, you know, at the Gig Harbor Vineyard, after a sermon on the heart of the Father, and I've shared this story before, I could never pray to God as my father. I had an issue. I had a daddy issue. Never. I prayed to God. I prayed to Jesus a lot, you know, and I prayed to God generic, never to the Father. I had an issue. And then the Spirit of God came on me and said, Henry, I'm your father. I'm your father. And it just overwhelmed me. And all this time, I thought the issue was my father. Now, God has been always my father. I always thought, you know, but it was my heart, my injured heart. I didn't know where to go with it until God says, hey, let me take care of your heart. Now, there's a gentleman by the name of Cain in Genesis. Okay? And you can see now, pain and the problem of pain, which is sin. Let's read the story of Cain and Abel, because you can kind of get a sense now, okay, why pain and, like, good pain and bad pain. God is laying it out. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering. Just, you know, doesn't say what kind of offering, just brought some stuff to the Lord, okay, of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn. So not only did Abel bring like one of his sheep, but he brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel. He approved of Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. I don't know what it feels like, right, to get the diss from God, right? I'm sure that it's painful when God says, hey, good try, okay, not acceptable. I'm sure it was painful. You ever give like a present to your child, but it's not the present that they wanted? It's like, oh my gosh. You know, I don't know, maybe you always got the present they wanted. How spoiled are these kids nowadays? Anyways. But, you know, you can kind of go, oh, hey, thanks, Dad. Yeah, yeah, it's really good. You know, it's like. So I could feel Cain's pain. When God has no regard for whatever you brought. So Cain was very angry. Understandable, right? We understand that. And his face fell. What he's saying is like, it was obvious. It was obvious. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? Right? He was brooding now. If you do well, will you not be accepted? But God was just training him. This is how you come in and worship. This is, okay, because we get offended at God. You know why? Because God says, hey, this is the way I want you to follow me. We get all bent out of shape. Because we want to follow God my way. And then when it's not, what? Approved, we get all bent out of shape. Well, God says, this is the way I want you to do it. That's why we pray, thy will be done. We don't love God according to our terms. We love God according to His terms. And if God doesn't, He tries to correct us, our faith falls. What does it say? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Something is coming up in that fallen nature. In pain, what comes up? Sin. Sin is crouching. And you know who else is crouching along with sin? The enemy. Did God just do that? Did He just dish you? Huh, Cain? Look, you don't deserve this, all right? Look at that. Look at your brother, man. What's he got? Sin is crouching at the door every time. And what's this? Its desire is contrary to you. What does God say? But you must rule over it. You have to rule sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, that's exactly how Romans chapter 6 thinks about it. It says, let not sin therefore rule, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for righteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Don't forget what's Paul saying. You're dead. Don't get offended. Don't get offended because you're dead. I am sure what Paul has in mind, right? Because most of the sin is response to pain. Most of our sins is a response to pain. And don't let sin reign. Don't sinfully respond to your injuries. Don't sinfully respond to the fact that this person betrayed you. Don't sinfully respond. They are not the problem. Your heart is the problem. Romans 6, 7 says, for one who has died has been set free from sin. How does a person get set free from sin? The one who has died. When you are baptized, we are publicly professing that I'm dying. So you no longer entitled to being offended. Oh, I'm offended. How dare you? I'm offended. You're not dead then. You're no longer an entitled person because you're dead. And if you're dead, you're free from sin. Folks, why am I saying this? Because a lot of times I can pray, okay, a million times for the Holy Spirit to come and bring healing to you, okay? You know what I'm really praying? I'm praying that you would die. Because if you do not die, if you don't give your surrender your life to the Lord, sin is always crouching at the door. Troubling your troubles. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. So, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin. Paul is talking to people who are saved, who have been baptized. He's saying, hey, let me remind you, you're dead. You're dead. So don't be so offended. Don't let sin get the best of you. Because you're alive in Christ. That's what it means. It's a different way of living. It's a different way of life. Final verse. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Now, I'm working backwards here. Right? Don't let sin reign. You're dead. When did we die? Paul's reminding them. You were baptized into Christ Jesus or baptized into His death. You were already baptized. He's just reminding you. You remember when you said yes to Jesus? You said, yes, I'm going to die with Jesus. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. That's the wonderful news, folks, is that every time we get hurt, something is going to come up. I promise you. The how dare used, you know, I'm offended, anger. And here's another one, blame. We're going to talk about a lot of this, okay? Blame, self-pity, right? Does it sound familiar? Bitterness, right? Those are called what Robert was going through in Galatians, the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. They're going to come up. And what do you got to do? You got to die. Crucify it. Crucify it. And then what he's saying? He says, you too might walk in the newness of life. If you do, say no. I'm going to get rid of this. You know, I might not get that phone right now. I might throw out the, you know, I was praying this morning. I was like, Lord, I've been saying, okay, God, I'm going to get rid of the TV in my room. I was like, and this morning God was like, okay, now, get rid of the TV in your room. So I was like, okay, God, me. Why wrestle with it? But God's like, what is it? What is it? You're going to miss out on something? You know? This is life. This is everyday life, isn't it? These are the decisions. And life is hard, isn't it? I know. It's painful. But God is promising us that in your pain, He is the balm. He is the medicine. He's the love. He's going to pour love. You don't have to try to avoid it. You don't have to try to find some other way to deal with it. But God is saying that He will be there. God is your sozo. He is your savior. It also means He is your healer. And He promises you, if you're just willing to die to yourself, the healing will be the inevitable result. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray now. God, I pray for your love now. As we sing, God, would you sing over us, God, and would you just, Lord, just bring your love to bear. Would you fill us, God, those deep recesses of the pain, God. And would you also, Holy Spirit, help us, Lord, help us to die to ourselves, to repent of all of the things in our lives to comfort us in our pain. Except you, Jesus. We don't turn to you, we turn to these things. And so, God, we're afraid that without these things, we don't know how to get through the day. We don't know how to get through the day. And so, God, would you give us courage, God, to let go of the things and begin to pursue you, the great physician, that you would come and to be our God, healer. So come, Jesus. God, would you sing over us, Lord, of your love. God, let us know that you love us. In Jesus' name.